you turning in your Bibles to John chapter 11. While you're turning there, let me say welcome. We're glad that everyone was able to be here today. It's certainly a treat that we get to see Chester back among us and Sister Susan after her treatments. Those are answered prayers, and we need to recognize that and make sure that we are showing our thanksgiving to God for the prayers that He has answered on behalf of those of our members who we've been praying for, and Brother Tim as well. The fact that he's able to get out and go and be with the saints there in Dallas is yet another answer to prayer. And so we're thankful that we're all able to be here today. I just want to start out by reading John chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. And I want to read all the way down through verse 46. So if you want to take just an extra second to find John chapter 11 and follow along, we'll be reading a rather lengthy reading, verse 1 down to verse 46. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." This he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples then said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go so that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying?" So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. You know, preachers are a strange breed. I sometimes approach a text and I way overthink it and try to make it more complicated than it is. And that's what's happened this week. That's why you don't have an outline in your hand. That's why you don't have a PowerPoint to look at. Is because about 3 weeks ago, I realized that John 11 was upon us. I realized that it was soon that I was going to be preaching from the text where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And I knew that when I preached that lesson, I needed to bring it. And I needed to bring it hard. And so I started texting friends of mine, preachers who have been preaching for a number of years. I even posted a request on a preacher group on Facebook. Many of those guys I only know just their names, but I've seen their comments and come to trust their advice on how to approach the scriptures. And I asked them, I said, I need every bit of material you could possibly send me on John chapter 11 and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Because if you remember, when our dear brother Bill Hayes died, I preached from this text. I preached a lesson called The Resurrection and the Life. We talked about this, didn't we? And we revisited it several weeks ago when we did the I Am statements of Jesus, where we got to I Am the Resurrection and the Life. And I was thinking in my mind, I've got to bring something new. I've got to bring something powerful. I've got to bring something fresh to the text that maybe we haven't seen before. Maybe we've never thought about before. And it needs to be good. And it needs to stir the people. And about the middle part of this week, I repented and thought, how foolish of me to think that I could do anything with this text to make it better than it already is. And so I'm not going to preach to you this morning. I'm going to leave this text as is. And I'm only going to offer three things that just jump out at me from the text. Not trying to improve upon the text at all. Not that I'm trying to do that ever, but you know what I mean. Just three observations, and then the lesson will be yours, and I'll give you a moment to overcome your shock so you can actually hear what the 3 points are. There are three times in this text where Jesus' love for Lazarus and his sisters is called into question. Now, they may not say that. They may not say, I thought you loved us. But in the way that they're questioning Jesus, they are questioning his love and his motives and why he did certain things. You've got to remember why this gospel was written. This gospel was written by John so that we may come to know Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in him we may have life in his name. And John tells us that Jesus revealed his glory to us, and we wrote it down so that he could reveal his glory to you. And so when you approach a text as a preacher and you think, I've got to come up with something new and powerful and fresh, we really do a disservice to the audience. Because these words were penned. This story was written so that you could see the glory of Jesus as John saw it on this day at this tomb in this village called Bethany. And so 3 times Jesus is questioned, first by Martha. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet, I trust that God will do whatever you ask him. And she comes to this statement of faith, the one that John's after. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, that you are the Son of God who's come into the world. The second time Jesus is questioned is by Mary. As she runs out to meet him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And the third time is by the mourners who go to the tomb along with Mary and Martha and Jesus. And some of them were saying, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? Couldn't he have done something here? If he had just come like Mary and Martha had asked him to, couldn't he have stopped this from happening? And it's interesting to see how Jesus responds to these questions, these inquiries about his love. He first responds to Martha with a profound truth about himself. He then responds to Mary with strong emotion coming from deep within himself. And then third, he responds to the mourners with powerful action by himself. And so I just want to talk about those very briefly. Jesus, in response to Martha, reveals his glory with his words, with the truth. He says, you believe that there is a great and glorious day of resurrection, and it's going to come at the end of the age when all believers will be raised bodily from the grave. You're right. That's true. And I'm here to tell you that I am the arrival of that day. I am the resurrection and the life. You thought that day would come when the Messiah came? Well, guess what? I'm him, and it has come. And didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? He then responds to Mary with strong emotion. Mary's crying, probably sobbing. And those around her are crying. And Jesus' response this time is not with words, but with strong emotion. And then they take him to the grave, and he begins to weep. Now, most preachers I've ever heard tackle this text, myself included, we try to explain to the audience why Jesus is crying when really we don't know. There could be a wide array of emotion that Jesus is feeling on this day. Loss from the dear friend that has died and the emotion that's being shown around him. But listen to some of the words that are are used here. Deeply moved, greatly troubled. Then again down in verse 38, he was deeply moved within. And all of that is kind of reaches the climax with Jesus pouring out that emotion through tears. Think about what's going on in this text. Jesus is being questioned. His motives, his love, his care for these people is being called into question on a number of different occasions. And so it's just as possible that Jesus is responding with that kind of emotion. There's all kinds of things going on in Jesus' mind and heart at this time. He also knows what him being the resurrection and the life is going to cost in just a few days from this point. And so Jesus responds to Mary with a very strong emotion. But now, finally, it is time, not merely for profound truth or strong emotion, it's time for powerful action. And so Jesus prays to his Father, "I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." And with that, he calls Lazarus to come forth from the grave in the presence of many witnesses and shows us how he is the resurrection and the life. He told them back in verse 4 that this illness would not lead to death, but that it was for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And so Jesus says, "I am the resurrection. And to show you how I am the resurrection, I'm going to call Lazarus forth from the tomb," which is part of his glory. Glory that we can see not because a powerful preacher gave you something new and fresh, something you'd never thought about before, not because somebody stood up here with great emotion and passion delivered these words to you. You can see the glory of Jesus as it's revealed in this story through the eyes of John as he saw it himself. And believe it or not, that's it. That's all I've got to say. Now, I would give you a word of encouragement before I step down. It is now, I can't read clocks like that, which is one of the reasons why I have the problem that I do. It is 10:48. You are accustomed to walking out of this building at 11:15 or beyond. That's 30 extra minutes that you have today. Your roast is not done. There is no reason for you to rush off and try to get there because it's not finished and won't be finished for another hour or so. That's 30 extra minutes that you have today to not go to the door as quickly as you can, but to stay and see how further the glory of Jesus is being revealed even today in this building as this body of believers has gathered together as his body to celebrate him as the resurrection and the life. Take that 30 minutes to find somebody that you don't normally talk to. Engage them in conversation. Ask them how they're doing spiritually. Ask them how they're life is going and see how you might be involved and how you might engage in their life. Take this time that we have. I can promise you it won't happen again for a long time, right? Take this time to spend together as the body of Christ, celebrating Him as the resurrection and the life. If you're here this morning and you've not come to know Jesus as the resurrection and life, I hope that the story today has allowed you to see His glory and how He manifests His glory in that way. how he, the Son of God, came to this earth so that he might call forth from the grave all those who have fallen asleep in him, to take them home to be with him in glory forever in the presence of the Father. If you're here this morning and you're not part of that glory, make the commitment to him right now. And let us know about it by coming forward as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.